Right. Hey there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at kmuz.org. This is where we shine a light on partnerships and programs and the people that can serve our beautiful natural resources in Marion County. We are illuminating our Marion Soil and Water Conservation mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences. I'm your host, Jenny Ammon, natural resource educator. On this episode, we get to chat with Anna Rankin, the executive director of the Pudding River Watershed Council. We'll also get into the role of watershed councils, kind of the magic. And when I say magic, I mean passion, magic, fire that Anna brings to her role as the executive director of the Pudding River Watershed Council. She'll shine some light on the history of the council, and we gotta dive into her favorite places because she likes to explore. So we'll have to figure out those great places in the watershed and some future plans for the Watershed Council. And lastly, how listeners can engage and help with protecting the Pudding River. So welcome, Anna.
I'm excited to talk about the Pudding River Watershed and its council.
Well, great. We're so happy you agreed to do this. It's a fairly new podcast, but I think having guests like you are going to just amplify what our listeners get to experience. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get the role at the Watershed Council as executive director?
What are the juicy little bits of my story that I should share today? Everyone's a kind of unique mixture of their temperament that they're born with and then the influences in their environment and life. And giving some thought to that, I'm a forever curious person. I'm always asking, how does this work? Why is it this way? And so naturally I loved science even from, a very young age. And I think it's just, in that nature, in addition to that, I'm really proud to be a Rankin. Some of that family history, John Rankin was an abolitionist, one of the original conductors on the Underground Railroad back in Ohio. So that nature for me, I feel like some of who I just come to the table with naturally is to confront a system and say, wait, we can make things better. Yeah, this is an injustice. This is an inequality. Something's not quite right about the way we're doing business. So let's figure out how to make things better. Having grown up in North Texas, I naturally graduated from Texas Women's University and studied biology and somehow managed to wind up out here in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. I married a man who grew up in the Pudding River watershed. I've been in this area for about 20 years. I've raised my boys near the Pudding River and, essentially got into my role at the Watershed Council very naturally through one of the first things I learned about the Pudding River 20 years ago was it's polluted. And it was just kind of shrugged off like no big deal. But I knew that my kids swam in the swimming holes down by 99E. I knew that, people play in the pudding, and I just felt a sense of wanting to improve the Pudding River watershed. So as far as getting into this role here, my past career experiences are really diverse. So I put some thought into, what is it in all three career experiences? What is that snake of unity? What's the commonality there? And it's really clearly I'm an optimist and I'm also a little nuts.
Aren't we all just a little on the edge?
I think you have to have that, kind of that streak of insanity to get some of these major things changed and believing that we really can make a difference, even just me. I can be that little spark that starts a movement to make things different.
I believe in you. I want to touch on a few things from your introduction. I feel the curiosity and the passion and the science background, and what a cool nugget about your family history. And I just want to ask, you had mentioned biology and other careers. what do you bring from the other careers to the council? Because not only are you managing projects, you have a board you work with. So you are working with personalities. So what do you bring forward in that interesting role where not only is it you, but you have board members and then the public to serve? How do you kind of weave that web?
Great. Basic science research, you know, whether it's physics or biology or chemistry, is always looking at what information is out there, who did it, you know, where do you get your information? And it's that sense of an unbiased questioning about, we want to get to the truth of things as best as we can. So, you know, kind of going into understanding people from a non-judgmental point of view, we're all just people, we're all just humans. And so, you know, the basic science part of my career doing biomedical research, again, looking at how can we make things better, gave me an opportunity to work with just some really smart people who asked good questions. And I think that's the mark of getting to know people, is when they start asking questions. And then the next part, a large bulk of my professional work was, I was certified through the American College of Sports Medicine as a health and fitness instructor / exercise physiologist. So I've worked with youth, I've worked with seniors, I've worked with groups. And again, the obesity epidemic over the past 30 years, we've really seen grown in the United States. So one of the things that I bring to the table is just being able to use the human body as an analogy to watershed work, because we all have this body and it's made up of complex systems. Well, a watershed, what is that? It is an area of land that is connected by these waterways. It's all draining to the Pudding River. So there's so much that we can explain about watershed health and watershed stewardship and voluntarily taking care of our bodies, and then also our environment in which we live, because we really can't just completely separate ourselves from our environment, because we live, we work, we drink, we are part of the watershed.
Absolutely. I feel like that connection just speaks a lot to me. You can't treat one ailment, right, or one part of your body without thinking of it as a holistic approach. And a watershed needs to be addressed as a holistic approach as well.
Absolutely. And that is part of what the Watershed Council is. And it's an interesting point here to kind of look at how districts and councils work together, in that a council is really organized to represent the different systems and the different impacts on a watershed, meaning we represent the municipal impacts, the water users and those who take water, use it, and put it back into the system. And we're looking at agriculture and irrigation needs and water quantity, and we have forestry at the table, and we have fish and wildlife represented at the table. So we bring all of these folks together to have a conversation to address, you know, what are the impacts in our watershed? How can we prioritize? How can we pull together to improve the watershed health holistically?
I'm hearing, so there are overlaps in both of our missions. Like you said, we are charged with protecting wildlife, natural resources, soil, water, and we're both non-regulatory. SWCD is a sub-government agency, but we do have a tax base. That's not normal for all SWCDs, but some do have a tax base that support those conservation efforts. And so there are similarities and differences. Do you want to maybe talk a little bit about the differences between the Watershed Council and SWCD for us?
Oh, absolutely. So again, every watershed is a little bit different. And that's the beauty of having a council, is that we really can represent what's going on right here in this particular place. And it's done differently depending on which watershed you're in. Let me tell you, the Pudding River Watershed Council looks pretty different than an urban watershed council in Portland, for example. And we have one staff member, that's yours truly right here, Anna Rankin, and I wear I wear a number of different hats, just depending on what day it is. So I have to be very adaptable.
Flexibility is key, not only in 2020, but...
It may never make sense for the Pudding River Watershed Council to look like an urban watershed council. Our funding is established through the state of Oregon's Watershed Enhancement Board. And not every single watershed receives Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board funding, but we're very fortunate to have qualified for that. And there's no legislation that says any area has to have a watershed council. It takes the community coming together, saying, hey, we'd like to collaborate. We'd like to work together voluntarily to do this. And by doing so, what that means is that we can take care of our area. You know, just to wax back to, you know, who am I and who am I bringing to it? I truly believe that citizens should be entitled to taking care of things on their own before we start getting told what to do and how to do it. But it really does take that collective and that collaboration to go ahead and say, yes, we're willing to have a conversation. Yes, we're willing to put some things into action and put those, you know, specific efforts into making things better.
I love it. I have never felt more connected to the land until back home. Our Upper Catfish Creek Watershed Council started doing programming in nearby the creek, whether it was riparian plantings or it was stream bank erosion reduction. And it really connects people to the resource. So do you have ways or specific actions maybe folks living in the Pudding River can help with that fantastic mission?
Absolutely. And again, you know, going back to how did I get involved with the Pudding River Watershed Council? I was alert. I was available. I kept showing up, you know, and that is one of the things citizens can do. They can contact the council. They can say, hey, I'm interested in helping out. And let me tell you, I will quickly find a role for any particular volunteer. Bring your talents, bring your time. You know, this is how we pull together. Specifically, what are the actions right now that we're interested in? As a watershed council, you know, we try to focus on the work in the stream or the work right next to the stream. So we're not in the uplands. We're not doing much work on Willamette White Oak. We're not doing a lot of forestry work. We're looking really at what's happening in the water or right next to it. And the project, there's several, and the communities really have to embrace what's happening. And so it's interesting to watch in Scotts Mills, there is a relic dam. It was a diversion structure. And so we're working with Department of Fish and Wildlife and Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to remove the in-stream structure so that the winter steelhead, wild native fish in Butte Creek are able to pass over these cascading falls to the spawning habitat. Seems like an easy project, but it isn't. And so we're doing work there. We're doing work also to enhance the habitat in Abiqua Creek. We're working with Weyerhaeuser on Weyerhaeuser property to do an in-stream enhancement, you know, project for the spawning grounds. Creeks need diversity. Creeks need pools. Creeks need meanders, and creeks need shade so that the juveniles are able to survive. So again, just focusing specifically on what can we do in or next to the streams to improve the chances of survival of these important fish species.
Oh, you nailed it. That is wonderful, that diversity piece. I'm going to pick that up in just a second. We're going to just pause in the middle to remind folks where we are at. This is the Conservation Spotlight. Our special guest is Anna Rankin with the Pudding River Watershed Council. This is a regular segment on the Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7, and streaming on kmuz.org. And Anna just finished up speaking about the importance of diversity in streams and the projects that they have going on in Abiqua. There was an overwhelming theme of partnerships, whether that's government or non-government, I hear a lot of communities being asked to jump in, and the in-stream and near-stream projects are so worthy because it's one of the few things, Anna, in life that you get to do and walk away from and see some direct benefits, where as an educator, I might not see the work I do for 20 years.
You know, again, going back to what you're saying here is that one of the gaps, one of the things that I find is that communities are looking for volunteer events. They're hungry to have the citizens turn out and plant trees. And so I just have to tip my hat a bit to Friends of Trees and their style of getting projects on the ground. So again, you know, Mill Creek, I'm really looking forward, and maybe this is jumping ahead a bit as to some of those future projects and programs, but Mill Creek runs right through Woodburn, Hubbard, and Aurora. And we're so excited to bring a project to those communities for the urban watersheds, where we can look at how do we get more trees planted. It's one of the things I am most proud of in the few years that I've been with the Pudding River Watershed Council, is that we've taken salvage trees that are left over after the planting season. Forestry, you know, landowners will donate whatever seedlings are left, and we've been able to distribute probably around 5,000 trees for free to landowners to have them plant just voluntarily.
That's fantastic. Think about all of the shade being thrown on to keep water temperatures clean, cold, clear, like the fish need it. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
So that was Friends of Trees. So those are some future, and I don't mind jumping a little bit. We can talk about future projects. So that's ongoing. That will also happen. Does that happen typically in the fall or spring?
Aurora and the council work together to get a project started down near the confluence of Mill Creek and the Pudding River. So we started by working to get a green space cleared and planted. And the unfortunate nature of the rainy season is that, for example, we love working with Marion and Polk County Boys and Girls Club during the summer, and they're available during the summer months. Well, that's when you do site preparation, and site preparation means you're clearing weeds in preparation to plant trees and shrubs. And Friends of Trees gets to take over come November, December, January, February, when it's raining. So if you love planting trees, buy a raincoat, because you pretty much are going to do the planting. No, sincerely, it's just a badge of honor when you're out planting trees. It's just you're going to get wet. We had a planting event in February with the city of Aurora. Aurora helped organize the volunteers. One of our board members, Ray Eater, had an auger, and he put 60 holes in the ground, and in 2 hours, volunteers just got 60 trees planted. And it's just amazing what people can do when the city comes together with an agricultural producer who can man an auger. And then young men, it was impressive. I have a picture of him out using that auger. And then young men and women putting the trees in the ground and putting the soil back on top of it. So yes, okay. It's ongoing. We're going to find as many volunteer tree planting events as possible, because I think the watershed work, you know, there's a lot of conflict in the Pudding River watershed, and what people can come together and find a consensus on is planting trees. We know we can take actions, specific actions, just by simply putting trees back in the ground.
Absolutely. I agree. I think riparian habitat is one of the most important. It adds diversity through not only the decaying, dropping leaves, but the holding in the soil and keeping that stream bank in place. There's so many benefits. And it, like you said, when you have volunteers that can answer that call, and wonderful volunteers that are planting the trees, and people with augers, magic happens.
Magic happens. And, you know, again, going back to where do you find the passion to keep this work going? Because some days really are hard. And for me personally, time in nature is very therapeutic. So when I get to spend time in green spaces, healthy green spaces, I feel better. I'm a better mother. I'm a better employee. I'm just a better person in general. And that's one of the things that keeps me doing the work that I'm doing, is that if I can do these green spaces, if I can have more access to time in nature for kids in Woodburn, kids in Hubbard, by all means, I'm going to get up every day and work as hard as I can.
Oh, Anna, we know you do. We are very happy to partner with you. And I want to jump on the bandwagon of the goodness for mental health in the outdoors. It is something that is just like we talked about watersheds and people, you got to approach it with a holistic ideal. So if you aren't treating yourself with the utmost respect and giving yourself time to process things, get out. You can, even 10 minutes in the morning, do it. And I have to follow up with this. It's self-serving, but I have to ask, where are your favorite places to explore in the Pudding River or near the Pudding River watershed?
And I love this question. I've been all over this watershed, you know, and so I think it's a tough question to answer, however, because part of the tricky thing with the Pudding River watershed is that it's almost entirely privately owned. So there's very little access to explore, but we have a beautiful watershed. We have part of the San Yam State Forest. So you have Rhody and Butte Lake up in the highest reaches of our watershed, but that's 9 miles down a gravel road. And it's a little tricky to get there right now because things are closed. So if you haven't been there, the Hellcat Rock and the Wildcat Ridge and all of that San Yam State Forest, you got to see it at least once. And, you know, of course we have Silver Falls State Park. It is amazing. So, you know, of course people know about Silver Falls State Park, but when I take someone and give them a tour of the Pudding, you know, in Marion County, I've got to tell you, my favorite place to go is the Mount Angel Abbey. You can actually go up the hill. It's a, you know, it's a private piece of property open to the public. And what you get to see is this panoramic view of the watershed. You see the coastal range, you can see Mount Adams, you can see Mount St. Helens, you can see Mount Hood. It's amazing to be able to be up there. And again, it's an opportunity for quiet contemplation. You get to sit, you get to enjoy kind of the peace and the solitude on the hill. So, you know, we have the Wooden Shoe Tulip Farm. We have Shriner's Iris Garden. We have this rich agricultural productivity in the watershed. So even just a drive on a Sunday afternoon through the watershed is, there's always something different to see.
Oh, I'm so excited right now. I visited that when we first moved 5 years ago, the Abbey, the Mount Angel Abbey. And now that you say that, I'm like, that's what I was looking at. I didn't know enough then, but I know now. It is beautiful. You can see the geology and the way that the water runs. Great tip, Anna. That's fantastic.
And then you got to stop by and have some lunch in Mount Angel. But I'm a real sucker for the Mount Angel Sausage Company.
They are delicious.
You know, we do some business sitting out on the deck up there.
I love those tips. We have so many blessings in this area. Hey, I just want to make sure folks know, and during closing, is how do you think the landowners and even urban folks can be the best stewards of the water resources that we have?
All right. Good, better, best, right, wrong. You know, it's a real interesting question. Even today, this sounds crazy, but even today, I took some advice to heart. Like, I put a small plastic Halloween candy bucket in my shower, and I filled it up while I was showering and turned off the shower while I soaked up. And then I, you know, had that water in the bucket and then was able to rinse off with, you know, of course, I've turned the water back on. And then I had that bucket to rinse off as well. And so every single person bathes, every single person can conserve water by little tiny things. So we all have a way to use a little less. Right. And that's one of the biggest concerns in the Pudding River watershed is there going to be enough water? It's that quantity. Is there going to be enough to go around? You know, ultimately, what can you do within your own space just depends on what is your space. If you're a landowner and you have creek frontage or river frontage in going through your yard, one of the most important things you can do is say, all right, what can we do with this river frontage? Is there vegetation on it? Could we do anything differently? And then talk to the district or talk to the council and say, hey, I'm willing to work with you guys. Can we plant more trees? Let's hold the soil back. And so it's, again, it starts with that question of, you know, what's my position in the watershed and what can I do? Even as simple as conserving water in your household, it's going to help.
I love it. I think you nailed it. Find one thing that you know you can do and sustain and that there's partners out there to help you with. And I think the watershed councils and the soil and water conservation districts are pretty low hanging fruit, if you will, for partners. We are here. We have great staff. You guys have fantastic knowledge. It's just really good to connect.
Absolutely. Ultimately it's about being involved, right? It's about being alert. It's about being available. It's about reaching out, saying, hey, I'm interested. I want to do things differently. I want to make things better.
You nailed it. Hey, this is Anna Rankin, everybody we've been talking to. She's the executive director of the Pudding River Watershed Council. And I'm Jenny Ammon, natural resource educator for Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. And we want to thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We're grateful for this beautiful community we live in and conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on this topic, Anna, what site can folks check out for Pudding River?
Great. The PuddingRiverWatershedCouncil.org is our website. We always try to post things on Facebook. And if there's an event coming up, we'll make sure we put a banner on the website. And we're certainly always an email or a phone call away.
Well, that's wonderful. We will have this up on our website as well, marionswcd.net. And our Facebook page as well. We have native and invasive plant species up there, water content, some bad joke Fridays, gotta tune in for those funny jokes, and our upcoming programs. We have Lunch and Learns. Our next one is the first Wednesday in July, and we're gonna be hosting ODA's Beth Meyer Shanai talking about aquatic invasives and some terrestrial invasives to keep an eye out on. And tune in next month for our brand new conservation planner, Mark Akimoff. And you can find that at KMUZ 100.7, 88.5 on the third Wednesday during the Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening and thanks for shining your light.